Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and God bless you. Welcome to Morning Man on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. Amen. This is your host, Apostle Diane Chappelle, greeting you with Jesus' joy. On this day, many are getting ready to go out and celebrate and worship and praise and lifting up the name of Jesus on this glorious day. So, we greet each and every one of you as we prepare. I just want to share some things on this morning that are on my heart on this Resurrection Sunday, and I'm glad to be able to share it with each of you. Before we do, let us pray. Father, we bless and magnify your name this morning and give you praise. Honor you, Lord God, for this glorious day, for not only the day itself, but the very meaning of this day. We celebrate you. We honor and magnify you. We thank you for life. We thank you for extended life. We thank you for joy. We thank you for all that you have provided for us in this hour. And for that, we just give you thanks. I thank you, Father, for those who are joining on this broadcast this morning. I pray, Father, once again, that you meet them where they are and carry them where you would have them be, that place of their joy and their breakthrough and their healing and their relief. And for that, we give you praise. As we continue to pray, Lord, we thank you for this day. We pray, Father, that you just touch lives all over the place, that there will be many joined with you, many celebrating with you on this glorious Sunday morning. And for that, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Once again, God bless you. Good to have you with us this morning. As I said, on this Resurrection Sunday morning, I wanted to share some things with you, some things that have been mulling over my mind over the past week, some discussions that we've had even since the last Sunday, as far as the resurrection, which many refer to as Easter. I choose not to use that term. But that's another broadcast. Amen. But we, speaking of resurrection, and one of the things that came to me last week as we were in our morning manna, in what we call our Sunday school morning manna, was the fact that we sometimes get caught up in celebrations and move no further than the celebration itself. And we were talking about going from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, and the next time we deal with the cross is the Palm Sunday coming in the next year. Amen. So we go from Palm Sunday to Easter, and the next year Palm Sunday to Easter, as they refer to it. Next year Palm Sunday to Easter. And as I said, I prefer using the term resurrection, but it's the same celebration, if you would, in the minds of the people. So if we do that and we follow that program, we follow that outline, we never get past the resurrection. We continue to go back to the cross and then never to extend past that into resurrection. So I wanted to kind of highlight that today and cause us to have some thoughts. What are we saying about Resurrection Sunday? The program isn't long enough to go into extended teaching on the very term Easter, and that's not the purpose of it, but I can say that how we identify a thing, how we label thing identifies how it operates in the earth realm. If we say resurrection, it carries our mind into the direction of resurrection. If we say Easter, we know the history of that word. It carries us in the direction of that word. How is it defined? How do we see, let's see, how do we see Easter Sunday? How do we see Resurrection Sunday? We used to see it celebrated with new clothes and patent leather shoes and Easter bunnies and jelly beans. Amen. Well, that's not resurrection. Amen. But that's how it's celebrated. And we understand new clothes gives me to new life. New things, new life, resurrection, new life. But it's that discombobulation, if you would, of what it means and how the world has identified it, or what identity it's been given. Anything we identify outside of the intent of that identification depletes, if you would, the meaning. If I don't know the meaning of the word Easter, if I don't know the meaning of resurrection, then I am being led by what I see as others identify it for me. Well, no, I have to have that identification within myself, because and I'm going to share a scripture with you today, as we look at scripture, it means more than new clothes. It means more than going to a building. Amen. It means something more to the life of a Christian. Okay, I'm speaking the life of a Christian, and when I say that, I really life of a believer. Amen. I get very sensitive to words, the word meanings in this hour. So, how does it impact the life of a believer? If we don't know how it is to impact our lives, then we can't function accordingly. If we don't function accordingly, then we lose the opportunity to live out the purpose of the meaning. Amen. And we are just led. We live a life mundane from one resurrection Sunday to the other, unless we understand clearly the meaning and how that meaning is to transcend our very thought patterns, how that meaning is to take us even to a higher level of living, a clear understanding of life, a clear understanding of the cross, a clear understanding of redemption. Okay, and if we do not possess that in our heart, we can't walk it out in our feet. We can't think of it in our mind. We cannot become what it was intended for us to become if we haven't captured the reality of what it means. Amen. I hope that's not getting discombobulated here. But if you have your Bible, and I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, which is for greater clarity in the reading. Beginning at the first verse, now, brothers and sisters, let me remind you once again of the good news of salvation which I preached to you, which you welcomed and accepted, and on which you stand by faith. By this faith you are saved, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose. And right there, if we may have to do this in two parts, right there, is a definition that we don't necessarily grab hold to when we say saved, amen. But that literally means reborn from above. It means spiritually transformed. It means renewed and set apart for his purpose. Now, if I don't know that, then I'm just walking along mundane in the earth realm. If I don't know that my salvation meant that I was reborn from above, if I did not know that my salvation meant that I had been spiritually transformed, if I didn't know that my salvation meant I had been renewed, if I didn't know that my salvation set me apart for the purpose of God, then I can't function in that reality because I don't know it. And so many of us in the church are totally oblivious to what this is all about. If we haven't been taught it, we can't receive it. And if we can't if we aren't taught it, we can't receive it. We can't teach it. Amen. So the only thing we do is walk along in the mundane of how the world has identified it, and not how God intended it to be. Okay. Back to the words still in verse 2. If you hold firmly to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, just superficially and without complete commitment. All right, once again, Paul is saying, if I preach the word to you and you did not hold firmly to it, if you didn't grab it, if it did not come as a big part of your essence, then you believed in vain. It was just superficial and without complete commitment. You know, anything that's superficial, I'm not required to commit to. It has no impact. It has no, it's giving me no direction. It's nothing I commit to. It's just fleeting. It's fleeting moments. You know what I'm saying? It's said many times, Resurrection Sunday is a fleeting moment from one year to the next. And we repeat the same thing we did the previous year. We preach from the same text. We celebrate the same way. and it doesn't carry a depth. If it does not change our life between one resurrection to the other, then we have not captured the reality of what it means. Verse 3, for I passed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to that which the scriptures foretold. And he's referencing Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 12. Once again, let me look at that again. For I pass on to you as of first importance what I had also received, that Christ died for our sins according to that which the scripture foretold. And why don't we just go there, Isaiah 53, if I can get to it quickly. For time's sake here. Isaiah 53, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 12. Once again, in the Amplified, and it reads, but he is wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him. And by his stripes, wounds, we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. But the Lord has caused the wickedness of us all, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing, to fall on him instead of us. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth to complain or defend himself. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before her shears, so he did not open his mouth. After opposition, after oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And as for his generation, his contemporaries, who among them concerned himself with the fact that he was cut off from the land of the living by his death, for the transgression of my people, in whom the stroke of death was due. His grave was assigned with the wicked, but he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet the Lord was willing to crush him, causing him to suffer. If he could give himself as a guilt offering and atonement for sin, he shall see his spiritual offspring, he shall prolong his days, and the will, the pleasure of the Lord shall proceed and prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he shall see it and be satisfied by his knowledge of what he has accomplished. The righteous one, my servant, shall justify the many, making them righteous, making us righteous, upright before God, in right standing with him, for he shall bear the responsibility for their sins. Therefore, I will divide and give him a portion with the great, the kings and rulers, and he shall divide the spoils with the mighty, because he willingly poured out his life to death and his countenance among the transgressors. Yet he himself bore and took away the sins of many and interceded with the Father for the transgressions. Amen. And I wish I had time to open that up today. But you read through that this week, Isaiah 53, verses 5 through 7. And clearly, if you all have those computers, you can look at it through its amplifier and get great clarity of just what it meant for him to go to the cross, what it meant. What are we celebrating today? The new life, being brought into a place of greater identity, if you would, even in our thought life. Verse 4, going back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4, and that he was buried and that he was bodily raised up, raised on the third day according to that which the scriptures foretold in Psalms 16, 9 and 10, and that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, then to the 12. After that he appeared in more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, the majority of whom are still alive, but some have fallen asleep in death. Then he was seen by James, then by all of the apostles, and last of all, to one untimely, prematurely traumatically born, he appeared to me also. Okay, and this is Paul in Acts 9. Paul refers to that. For I am the least worthy of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I at one time fiercely oppressed and violently persecuted the church of God. Amen. And right there in those first 9 verses of 1 Corinthians 15 helps bring identity to what we're celebrating, what we're talking about on today. How are we understanding the resurrection? Now, if we capture the meaning of today's celebration, if we capture the meaning of the resurrection, actually capture it, it should change the way we walk the rest of the year. It should change the way we walk the rest of the year, because now it is given identity, it's given meaning. I'm getting an understanding of what does it mean, and we go back to the top. How does it impact my life? Where were we in verse 2? By this faith, you are saved or reborn from above. Think on that. What does that mean to be reborn from above? What does that entail? What does that look like? How does that shift my life? How does that change the way I think? What questions does it cause me to ask? What does it mean to be born from above? Spiritually transformed. What does that mean to be spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for His purpose? All of these, just in that one verse there, is enough to carry us into some revelatory clarity, if you would, for the next week or more. What He's saying? You know what? How has my life changed? How am I walk different? One of the greatest assaults against the church and those of us that comprise the church is the fact that we don't know what it meant, what the cross meant, and how it was to change our lives. If I don't know how I'm formed to live, I can't live it. If I don't know how I'm formed to live, if I don't know that I was formed to live in victory, I will never live in victory, because it's not anything that I've captured in my thought processes. If I can't think as a man thinketh, so he is. If I can't think it, then I can't become it. So if I don't think that there's anything that's changed my life or anything was given to change my life is not going to be changed, because I don't have the component to walk in it. So what Christian says, I don't know my purpose, that means that you don't know resurrection. But we don't know resurrection, because the resurrection is ingrained purpose. Come on, somebody. If you know that it comes with the resurrection, how is that manifested? How does it come with salvation? It comes with salvation through the Holy Spirit, who is ruler of salvation, who seals us into salvation, who is the one that gives us instruction and direction and guidance on how we're to live after salvation. Amen. One of the greatest assaults against the church, once again, is to divide the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in some churches, act like it doesn't exist. And He is the main key to getting ourselves aligned and walking according to the purpose and plan, and the purpose and plan of God. So if we don't have His, if we aren't available to Him, if He isn't made available to us, or if I don't know that He isn't made available to me, then I can't function in the fullness of the resurrection, because I don't have the key. And the Holy Spirit is the key. So what has the world did? What has the devil done? In the church, he's relegated the Holy Spirit to a song and a dance and a line and to fall out, but not to lead, guide, teach, and become, not to help us understand how we become change agents in Christ. How does our mind shift? What does it look like to sit in the class of the Holy Spirit, teach the truths of who we have become? Because we haven't been led and guided in that direction. We haven't been able to capture it. Amen. But God says, no, the time and season has come that we understand clearly what all this means and how it impacts us. How do you become a new creature in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit? How do you have the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit? So this day is a day that's a breaker day. This signifies a day that we were broken out of darkness and brought into the marvelous light. This is the day that identifies when hell had to lose its grip, because hell could no longer have us, because now we belong to the King because of the cross. This is the day that Jesus became a sacrificial lamb to by our atonement that the priest used to do in the Old Testament, what Aaron used to do when he went in behind the veil and made sacrifice before the Ark of the Covenant. What Aaron did in the Holy of Holies, the Holy Spirit has now allowed us to do through the veil that's been rent. And it was rent at the crucifixion. So much we don't know about who we have become has kept us impeded, has kept us out of position, has kept us broken and not understanding that we were being sent in by the cross to bring the world in alignment with the purpose of the King so they could experience the joy of their salvation, the joy of understanding who they have become in Christ, the joy of knowing what this day means. So look at what the enemy does. The enemy takes the resurrection and turns it into bunny rabbits and jelly beans, bad leather shoes, and new clothes. Okay, and he does that now. Understand this. I'm talking about the reality that's happening in the church. I'm not talking about those living outside of salvation that have not been brought in yet. I'm not talking about the harlots. They aren't supposed to understand it, but the church is. Those of us have been brought in out of darkness into marvelous light. Oh, yeah, we're supposed to understand it. But the compromise has happened in the house. Amen. The compromise happened in the house. Erroneous teaching. An erroneous teaching by those who were erroneously taught. You can't lay fault. I have an issue when people lay fault to denominations or lay fault to leaders because you can't lay fault unless you know the life history of the one individual. You can't make a cross, the board judgment against every leader because we are taught what we are taught. We teach what we've been taught. And until correction comes, there cannot be an expectation of those falling in alignment with correction, so we'd be careful how we release the judgment. So it's not about what the leaders are taught. Now the question becomes, what do we learn? What do we seek after? What do we know? How do we seek after the truth? How do we understand what God is saying and doing? So the message that God is releasing from the Holy Spirit in this hour is to gather truth, understand truth, ask the questions that will bring you a reality of who you are on the earth. Satan's greatest subterfuge is to keep us blind to who we are in the earth realm. And our greatest victory is to find out the truth. Amen. So once again, we go back to this day, and we should see entirely different in this day of what God is saying. So once again, we have been given this day of resurrection to open up the way for our rebirth. We've been given this day to open up the way for our spiritual transformation. So what Paul says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is he saying? He's saying being transformed, being changed. How does that happen? Through the Holy Spirit. Amen. But it can't happen through the Holy Spirit unless we understand it's our right for it to happen. Jesus gave us the right for it to happen. Jesus gave us the right to enter into communion with the Holy Spirit, to be transformed, amen, to be renewed, to be set apart for his purpose. Can you imagine the number of saints that have lived and died and gone to heaven and never stepped into purpose, never engaged purpose, because they were never led to understand that that's what the resurrection was for? Can you imagine the lives that were expended in living in other, and I mean, and truly these people, many had good lives, many had happy lives and joyful lives, but happy and joyful is not necessarily purpose. Amen. Purpose brings you to a whole different realm of existence because you were sent in for a specific thing. That's what I'm talking about in purpose. Yeah, God is gracious, God is sovereign, God is good, and he can allow people to live an abundant life without engaging purpose. Yes, but the reality is there's purpose in the resurrection. There's purpose in the resurrection, and that purpose will be defined as we understand resurrection and then allow Holy Spirit to define purpose and give us understanding and clarity in that. So once again, that's the day that we celebrate. That's why many people even now are in sunrise services around the land, around the globe. This is why people are getting up to go to hear the story, but hear the story with a different ear. Hear the story that it becomes more than a production of something that's repetitive that we see and do every year, but something that brings us even more, engages us even more in the reality of what the resurrection meant and how did it, what did it mean personally to me? How is it impacting my life? How does my life change from this moment on as I understand what Jesus did for me? See, if I don't understand what he did for me, I can't have a personal acknowledgement of him. I can't love him if I don't know what he did. I can say it, but I can't feel it. I can't respond to it. I can't work in it unless I understand clearly what his sacrifice meant for me. Amen. What did it do for me? And that's where we've been separated. We haven't understood what the sacrifice meant. His sacrifice meant to me. If I don't understand who I become in his sacrifice, then I cannot become, not only can I not operate in purpose, I cannot operate in power. I cannot represent in the earth realm what the church is to look like because I don't understand. I haven't been brought to understand that I've been transformed for a reason. I've been transformed. I have not been transformed for myself. I've been transformed for the King. I've been sent into the earth for his purpose. I was created for the purpose of God. He created us for his purpose. Amen. But we need to turn around and, like, we created God for ours because we have missed the tapestry, if you would. We have missed that which is woven together to bring us to our completeness, to bring us to our wholeness, to bring us to our purpose, to bring us to our understanding. So we cannot operate in the truth of why we're created. We will never operate in truth. If we can't operate in the truth of why we can, there will never be truth. We will operate in error. If truth is compromised, it's error all over the world. If truth is compromised, it's error. Amen. World is trying to compromise truth by setting its own moral standard. You can't set something that you never created. Moral standards created by God. You can't change them. You can't shift them. You can't make them say anything other than what they've already said. They can't be changed. It's truth. It's unadulterated truth. So we have to move into that reality. So what has happened? The enemy has caused compromised truth to appear to be truth. And people have walked along compromised and not understand that they walked outside of truth. Amen. So what God is saying in this hour, no, it's time for the church to grab hold of the truth so that we can operate in the earth according to the purpose we were sent into the earth and not operate politically correct because the earth says that's the way you live. No, that's not the way I live. I live according to the government of the King. Amen. I live according to the government of the King because I understand why I've become from the resurrection and that we have become now new creatures in Christ Jesus. So we operate from that way. So on this Sunday, on this Resurrection Sunday, hear what the Lord is saying. Let the Holy Spirit give you even greater clarity and get it so embedded in your spirit that you can feel the wind of His presence as He moves through your day, and then you can help others understand the truth of what we're celebrating today. We're not jelly beans and patent leather shoes. And bless the Lord. I love to see cute little girls and nice little dressed boys, and there's no problem with that. But we have to understand that that's just something that we have on. We need to understand what we have on the inside. We need to understand who we become from the inside out and not how we dress the outside inward. We need to have that revelation. So as you pray, as you meditate, as you seek God in this time and this season, as you celebrate him, give him praise for that which Jesus did for us on this day so many thousands of years ago, that he would go to the cross that we might be set free and that he would be the first fruit of many sons, which we are becoming. Amen. Father, we bless and magnify you on this day, and we thank you for the goodness and grace that you have given unto us. We thank you as we go forth in this hour that you are giving us rebirths and understanding and bringing us an identity that we did not necessarily have prior to this morning. Father, I thank you for every listener. I thank you for that what you're doing in their lives right now, and that I give you praise. We celebrate you. We honor you. Jesus, how we love you. And we thank you that up from the grave you rose. And now we honor you even the greater in your name, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Have a glorious Resurrection Sunday. And until next week, this is Apostle Diane Chappelle and your manna, morning manna, ready to celebrate. Amen. Amen. God bless you.